Nuggets, West Monroe, Louisiana, presents Strength for Today. And now with our message, missionary evangelist Huey Diffie.
Bibles are open to Matthew, the 12th chapter. We'll be reading verses 38 through 42. So then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But Jesus answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights, a full 72 hours, in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let us pray. Father, we commit the remainder of this service to you. Dear Father, this is your word. It's alive. It's powerful. Now we ask you to speak it to our hearts. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit will undergird this service and the needs of hearts will be met. Lord, speak to each one of us. We pray for those who are not saved, that they would see their need for a Savior and come to Christ this morning. And Lord, we pray for Christians who need to be closer to you, that they would understand that you have a work for them to do and for all of us. And Lord, that they would be brought into that close fellowship with you and be usable for you. And Lord, we commit all of this to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Queen of Sheba traveled from the south to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But speaking of Jesus in Colossians 2:3 says, In whom, in Jesus, are hid all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge. There's a greater than Solomon here. Solomon is a name that's known around the world. In Oklahoma, there was a boy named Solomon. And I knew a preacher from Africa whose name was Solomon. So it is a universal name. But Jesus has a name that is above every other name. Philippians, the second chapter, chapter 2, verse 9, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Solomon was great, but there is a greater than Solomon here. Consider some things that Jesus said about himself. Thinking of the world's darkness, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That is, he is the spiritual light of this world. When Jesus lives in us, we are the light of the world. We become the vessels that carry the light. Christians are ordained missionaries. We didn't choose him, but he chose us and filled us with himself that we could be a witness for him. We either stumble in the dark or we walk in the light. Proverbs 4:19 says, The way or the lifestyle of the wicked is as darkness. They know not in what they stumble. You see, we believe in the light or doubt in the dark. Jesus, thinking of our waywardness, said, I am the way. Jesus is the way of salvation, eternal life. He's a way of purpose, fulfillment, and satisfaction. Without Jesus in the heart, people are so empty. He fills that empty place. And without him, people rise to the top of society. And then they ask, what now? What now? Thinking of our fruitlessness, Jesus said, I am the vine. Now, the vine has life. It grows. It produces. And when we are connected to the vine by the new birth, the Holy Spirit flows through us, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And for the Holy Spirit to produce his fruit in us and work through us requires a life of devotion, a life of prayer, Bible study, and witnessing. Thinking of the world's deadness and sin, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There is a promise. There's assurance in that verse. In Jesus we live. He resurrects from spiritual death by investing his sinless eternal life in us. Thinking of Solomon's wisdom, greatness, and glory, Jesus said, oh, greater than Solomon is here. And when we think of the many accomplishments and great influence of Solomon, we must remember that a greater than Solomon is here. Isaiah, writing on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, left us these words in Isaiah 9:6. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is known by five descriptive names. This verse is a prophecy. The first part of the verse has been fulfilled. The remainder of the verse will be fulfilled in the future, and we believe in the near future. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Now, the government of the world was not on the shoulders of Solomon. Oh, he was a king. He had a government. But it wasn't the world government. But Jesus will have the government of the world upon his shoulders. And it will be a wonderful government. It will be a great time. It will be a theocracy, not a democracy. Democracy is man ruling. Theocracy is God ruling. And his name is Wonderful. Listen, Solomon was surrounded by 700 wives and 300 concubines. Ask them if he was wonderful. Then he is known as Counselor. If you will read the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon is reasoning things out in his natural mind, you will learn that Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, could not govern his own life. And if the wisest man who ever lived could not govern his life, how can someone like me or you govern our lives? You see, it's just a tiny rosebud. A flower of God's design. But I cannot open the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. Why, the petal, the rosebud that God opened so sweetly, in my hand would just fade and die. And if I cannot open the rosebud, this flower of God's design, how do I think I can unfold this life of mine? Listen, Jesus is the one to whom others go for advice on how to have a happy marriage, child rearing, success in life, peace, joy of salvation. Listen, he is known as the Mighty God. Solomon was a mighty man, but Jesus is a mighty God. Jesus is the one before whom every knee shall bow. He is also known as the Everlasting Father. Solomon was a father plagued with failures, but Jesus is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, compassionate, perfect, heavenly Father. And then Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. Solomon had a reign of peace. That's the reason he could build a temple. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If Ephesians 2:14 says, he is our peace. And learning of Solomon will not bring peace to us. But the more that we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more peace we have. Because he is our peace. Peace is a person, not circumstances. And that is one reason we need to obey Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 29, where it says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. A yoke is an instrument of work. So we take that yoke upon us. And Jesus said, learn of me. Not just learn of religion, but learn of me. Learn of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we learn of him is to study his book. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I tell you, there's a greater than Solomon here. When the religious leaders asked Jesus for a sign, he called them evil and adulterers, and he claimed to be greater than Solomon. Now, I can imagine what they were thinking. They were probably thinking something like this. Why, Solomon was a king. You are an illegitimate carpenter's son. Solomon came from Jerusalem, a great city, where three great religions have their headquarters. You come from an obscure village in Galilee, from Nazareth. Nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. Solomon was born in a palace. You were born in a stable with animals. Solomon had many servants. You have none. Solomon reigned 40 years. You have never reigned. Solomon wore kingly robes. You wear servant's garb. Solomon drank from golden vessels. You ask drink from a harlot. Solomon had wealth. You have not a penny with which to pay your taxes. Solomon had armies. You walk the seashore searching for followers. Solomon built great cities. You make chairs and plowshares. Solomon lived in mansions. You're homeless, with nowhere to lay your head, and some nights sleeping in City Park. Solomon was 13 years in building his house. You build nothing. Solomon had 1,400 chariots, 1,200 horsemen, 40,000 stalls of horses, and rode in comfort and splendor. You wearily walk the dusty roads of Palestine. How can you be greater than Solomon? Let us consider some ways that Jesus is greater than Solomon. Jesus is greater in his birth. Matthew 1:6 says, "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." There was a man named David who married a woman named Bathsheba. Through their union, a child by the name of Solomon was born. But there was a woman named Mary who was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. As a result of the Holy Spirit's work, a baby's body was born without the aid of a man, and the eternal God of the universe indwelled that baby's body. You see, the Bible says that David, a man, begat Solomon. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that a man begat Jesus. It just didn't happen that way. Now, Jesus is greater than Solomon because his birth was a virgin birth and wrought in humility. You think of the reproach that he bore in his life here on this earth. By the way, if you walk with God, you'll bear the reproach. Solomon was known for his greatness. Jesus is known for his humility. That's the reason he could do the Father's will. Before honor is humility. After humility is honor. In the Bible, we learn that there's a greater than Solomon here. Jesus was greater in wisdom. Solomon had to ask God for wisdom. Jesus never said, "Teach me." He said, "Learn of me." And as we read John the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 3, Jesus knew from where he came, why he was here, and where he was going. That's more than most people know. Now, look, listen to it. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Thank you, Lord, that you loved us to the end. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." You see, he knew three things. He knew that he was come from God. And he knew that his hour was come. He knew why he was here, to go to that cross. And he knew that he went to God. I tell you, there's a greater than Solomon here. Now, I don't worry about where I'm going, because I was nothing but a zero, rolling around, amounting to nothing. But Jesus picked me up, filled me with himself, made me a part of that innumerable host, and said, "Where I am, there you may be also." You see, I know where I came from. Nothing. My mother said I was born in Caldwell Parish. They said that it was a land of ticks and chiggers. In fact, the chiggers were so bad they wouldn't let me out of the house until the following spring. But, by the way, what's your excuse for not going to church? I know where I came from. I know why I'm here. I'm here to be a vessel for Jesus to use in serving others. I know where I'm going. I'm going where Jesus is, and that's heaven. Wherever he is heaven. Hell is at the end of a Christ-rejecting life, but heaven is where Jesus is. Jesus knows the thoughts of men. He has wisdom. He knows. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 3, "Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth." And verse 4, "Jesus, knowing their thoughts." Listen, he knows the thoughts of men. He said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" He knows every thought. Now, that's a sobering thing, but he knows every thought. Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." You see, Jesus is a standard by which all will be judged. Nothing is hidden that will not be revealed. One day a man was around in the cemetery digging. And why he was digging, I don't know. Maybe another grave or something. But he was digging. And he dug up the skeleton of a man who had been killed a number of years before. And they had the skull there. Now, you bear with me for a moment. A little gory, but you see worse on television. And in that skull, there was a nail. And the man took the nail. See, this murder had never been solved. Somehow they missed it when the body was embalmed, whatever. But he took that nail, and he went to the home of that man, to his widow. And he kind of invited himself in, and they sat at the table to talk. And in the course of the conversation, he took out the nail. He said, "Lady, have you ever seen this nail?" And her color changed. You see, the nail came out of the grave many years later as a witness against her. She was convicted. My friend, whatever the secrets are, they're going to come out. You better get under the blood. So it's all washed away and God has forgotten it. And it's gone. It's gone. Gone forever. Thank you, Lord. Jesus knows the whereabouts of men. I think of Nathanael. John, the 1st chapter, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. He's standing and he looked. Here comes Nathanael. And Jesus said to him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me? We've never met before. No one ever introduced us." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." I saw thee under the fig tree. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now, I do not know why Nathanael was under the fig tree. I don't know if he's sleeping. I don't know if he's stealing figs. I don't know. But Jesus knew where he was. We do know that there is no escape from the all-seeing eye of the omniscient, omnipresent God. His eyes run to and fro over the earth, observing the needs, deeds of men. Jesus knows the sins of men. Like the lady at the well who came to him. And they're engaged in conversation. Jesus said, "Go call your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have one. You've had five, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." Man, you think about it. You think he knows it all. Jesus knows the hearts of men. Acts 1:24, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men." He knows the hearts. I mean, he knows the motive down inside. He knows it all. So, knowing the heart is superior to knowing action. So, Jesus knows the heart. We judge actions. But we do not know a person's heart or motive, so we just don't judge. Man cannot know his own heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But in Jesus, we find wisdom and knowledge. The only wisdom that Solomon had was the wisdom that God gave him. Now listen to what the Scripture says about Jesus. Colossians 2:3. "In whom," in Jesus, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Wisdom and knowledge is hidden for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not hidden from us. They are there for us. But the hidden treasure of wisdom and knowledge that's hidden in Christ is ours. But the only way we can have it, to find it, is to dig for it in the book that He has given us. This is it. That is the reason we need Bible reading, Bible teaching, and Bible preaching, is because here we have the wisdom of God for us. The wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord is here. And we want to remember that Jesus is wisdom. He has it for us, but we find it in the Word. God gave Solomon His wisdom, and He will do the same for us. If we need wisdom, we ask Him. Listen to James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, that's me. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. He just pours it out if we ask, and upbraideth not. In other words, He would not revile you because you asked for wisdom. Instead, and it shall be given him. That's a promise from God. He said, if you will ask, I'll give. He made that promise. There's a greater than Solomon here. Jesus is greater as a teacher. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to learn from him. But day after day, men journeyed to Jesus to learn of him. Jesus gave us a book that no man can fathom that teaches us of him. The Queen of Sheba was impressed by Solomon. But when people come into the presence of Jesus, they're changed. Now, there's a difference. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. You see, they knew he was not an ordinary man, not an ordinary teacher. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 28 and 29, these are good verses, listen. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, Jesus taught. He taught doctrine. Now, that's good for the 21st century church. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes had a ritual. Jesus taught reality. You cannot have faith without having doctrine, because doctrine is what we believe. That doesn't mean that you sit up here and you got some long list of boring thing you're going through because of this doctrine. I went to one church and they said, we don't want doctrine, said we've heard it. And what they really meant was that they're not interested in learning the Word of God. They had just heard in this dry teaching thing that people sometimes get into, and that's what they didn't want. You see, a lot of teaching is nothing more than speculation and usually promotes a selfish interest. But Jesus, the teacher that God sent, have a thus saith the Lord, he taught with authority. And we need to teach and to preach with authority, because this Word is our authority. We're not the authority, but the Word is. Jesus is greater in his building. 1 Kings 6:7 says, and the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. Interesting verse. So there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. You think about it, this building. It was a prefabricated building. A miracle building. Took these stones and everything that was in the building and hewed them, cut them out, and then brought them and assembled them, and they never heard an axe or a hammer at work. That was a building that Solomon built, quite a feat. But Jesus is now working on his building, and one day it will be assembled. He's gathering material down here. He will assemble it up there. And every time a sinner is saved, that's Jesus working on his building. 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, Solomon used lifeless stones. Jesus used living stones. For us to find Solomon's temple, we would have to dig through the wind, sifted sun, bleached sands of Palestine. But God's temple is always present with us. We can see it here this morning. It's just so wonderful. A greater than Solomon is here. Listen, Jesus is greater as to his throne. 2 Chronicles, the 9th chapter, says, and Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. He reigned 40 years. Now, Solomon's reigned temporarily, just 40 years. Jesus will reign forever. Solomon's reign was the apex of national glory. But Jesus, who is the glory, will reign in eternal glory forever, and we will be with him. Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, there's a deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. In his later years, a shadow was cast over Solomon. His wives turned him from God to idols. His influence waned. Now, we must be aware of people or things that would turn us from a close walk with the Lord and from the Bible and separation from things that would defile from the local church, from missions and soul winning. We must be very careful because they are around us today. We have to have a made-up mind. This one thing I do. Listen, but Jesus will never turn aside. Solomon did, but Jesus will not. He will never defect from holiness, and he will never leave us. When Solomon reigned, not everyone bowed before him, but everyone will bow before the Lord Jesus. Listen, they will bow. The Bible said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that means every knee is going to bow. May not bow here on earth. Most people do not bow here on earth, but they're going to bow. They'll fall in the dust and scream out their own remorse and admit they're getting what they deserve. They are greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is greater in prayer. Why, in 2 Chronicles, Solomon prayed a prayer of praise, a prayer that exalted the Lord, giving him glory for the temple that was built and so on. But you contrast that with Jesus in Luke 6:12. And it says, he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, Solomon prayed surrounded by people who were of like mind. But Jesus prayed alone, surrounded by demons ready to pounce on him. Someone said, American Christians do not pray 30 minutes a year. And that on it, income tax time. Well, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is greater in provision. Listen, it says at that time, 1 Kings 8, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, and a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. Before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. Listen, they had a feast for 14 days. All of those choice cuts of meat cooked just right. All of the cornbread, and they had buttermilk. They had all of that stuff there on that table. I mean, for 14 days, they hardly had time to sleep. They just ate and danced and drank. They had a wonderful time. 14 days. But I want you to know in Matthew, the 14th chapter, Jesus took a little boy's lunch of 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish and fed 5,000 people. Oh, is it greater than Solomon here? Whatever you have in your meal barrel, Jesus can stretch it to meet the need. He calls those things that be not as though they were. We have seen him do it here on these grounds. Now, the word has spread that Jesus was coming to this certain location. And there was a little boy that wanted to go, and his mother did a horrible thing. She sent him and didn't take him. The mother prepared the little boy lunch, kissed him goodbye, and said, now, you watch those preachers. They'll eat you lunch. And Peter passed by. Passed by the little boy, and he asked, what you got in that bag? The little boy said, lunch. Peter asked, may I see it? The little boy's eyes wide. He said, no. And anyway, he did surrender the lunch. He let them have it. And by being in church, do you get this now? By being in church where Jesus is, and by surrendering what he had, by being in church where Jesus is, and surrendering what he had, and surrendering what he had, and surrendering what he had, this little boy saw a great miracle. And we are talking about him this morning. Because he surrendered what he had. I thank the Lord there are people in here that have surrendered what they have. There's a greater than Solomon here. Jesus is greater in power. Solomon had an army of well-trained soldiers, well-equipped. But Jesus could touch blinded eyes and cause them to behold wondrous things. Jesus could heal a lame man and cause him to leap for joy. Jesus could touch a fevered brow of a mother-in-law and cause her to smile again. Jesus took a little child in his lap and said, "Of such is the kingdom of heaven." And since that grand and noble time, multiplied thousands of little children have come to Jesus and felt the heartbeat of his acceptance and his gentle, tender embrace of those everlasting arms. Jesus called a dead brother from the cold tomb and sent the scoffers home with their heads bowed low. And two sisters with their hearts filled with joy skipped like little lambs as they laughed with glee. Jesus cast a multitude of demons out of a man and sent him home to his family singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Listen, there's a greater than Solomon here. Jesus is greater in longevity of life. He is alive forevermore. Jesus is greater in sacrificing love. There were times when Solomon was selfish and vindictive. Jesus is greater in liberty. Solomon was bound by personal desires. But Jesus had placed everything in the Father's hand. There was perfect trust. Jesus is greater in glory. He is the glory of God. Jesus is greater in gold. He owns it all. Jesus is greater in goals. His goal is to save every sinner that will come to him in repentance and faith. Jesus is greater than Solomon because he can redeem, restore one to fellowship, renew us, resurrect us, and he will return for us. Jesus can organize your life, my life, and make us what we have always wanted to be. Listen, Christian, God can and will use you if you will allow him to do so. Jesus will be greater than Solomon in marriage. Solomon had his 700 wives, but Jesus has a bride that consists of millions of souls. He will return for his bride, take her to heaven, and in Revelation 19, there will be a wedding, and we will be with our Savior in glory forever. That's a wonderful thing. Be saved this morning. There's a greater than Solomon here. Listen. Jesus is greater in his offer of eternal life for every one of us. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 4:14, Jesus said to the lady at the well, "But whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso cometh to me, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus wants to be our life. We ask a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, the answer is we will not. You see, Jesus said that ye shall die in your sins. "For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." I don't want to die in my sins. Thank God they're gone. They're underneath the blood, the cross of Calvary, and so yours can be. And he will wash them away. They'll be gone forever, and he will blot them out of his memory. And God will never remember that there was a sin in your life. Oh, you will be clean before a heavenly Father who is positive holiness. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Not for any reason would he cast one out. You see, a greater than Solomon is here. Let him be your Savior. Christian, let him be your Lord. Come to him now and be saved. He can make passing through the valley of the shadow of death a pleasant trip. You let go and let God have his sweet, wonderful will and way in your heart and life this morning. Let us stand with our heads bowed. We stand with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. We're going to have an invitational hymn. And this is an invitation for you to trust Jesus to save you. You say, how much faith do I have to have? Well, faith enough to walk an aisle. Faith enough without ever verbally saying anything, but in your heart asking the Lord to come into your heart and forgive your sins and to save you. Listen, it's not how much faith. It is the object of your faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ must be the object of your faith. And in a little childlike faith, you come and trust Him. So I don't understand everything, but I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Savior this morning, the best that I know how. I'm turning to Him and asking Him to come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save me for time and eternity. You'll do that this morning, won't you? Our Heavenly Father, help that soul that's believing right now, knowing they need to be saved. But the devil is trying to win a victory and is causing them to hesitate. Hesitate when the Holy Spirit is dealing with them. And Lord, you said you would not always strive with man. So we pray that now you would give them the courage, the strength to come while you're calling them, while the opportunity to be saved is here. Do it now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Gospel Nuggets offers a free Bible correspondence program. For more information, just write to Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292. That's Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292.